The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we honor you this evening. Thank you for your love. Thank you for leading us into loving you. Thank you for the love you've shed abroad in our hearts. Thank you for loving us the way you do. And this evening, we come to receive clarity of revelation, understanding in the name of Jesus. We receive mighty utterance in this meeting to the end that we are transformed, we are changed, we are edified, and you are glorified in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you want to shout a louder amen?
Amen.
It's the first Thursday service in the month of February, and we are going to be so blessed, so changed, so transformed. Are you expectant this evening? You are going to be changed, transformed, turned into deep order men. Now the Bible said, Samuel said unto Saul, he said, you have some encounters along your way. He said that you shall be turned into another man. So there's such an encounter with God that changes people. Are you following me? That turns into another man. Every time you come to services, expect that such changes will occur, that will turn us into different men. One of the things you must never do, and I feel the Lord wants me to talk about this, one of the things you must never do is to make just a ceremony out of church attendance. Don't come to church just because you have to come. Come with an expectation. Every time you come without an expectation, you receive nothing. Because what you expect that you receive. And if you're expecting nothing, you're going to receive nothing. Are you following me now? So come with an expectation. Expect to be blessed. Every time I have to meet with you here, I spend my time. I try to pray. I try to study because I know that God's people are going to gather. And God never gathers his people to waste their time. So as many people have come with an expectation today, you know, the thing about it is some mighty miracles might even happen in regular gatherings. They happen in regular gatherings. I get to the point. Like we could meet for any of our Thursday services and someone walks in blind and the person begins to see. It doesn't have to be a special meeting. But then it all boils down to one thing. Expectation. I follow what I'm saying. So be expectant this evening. God is going to touch you. You didn't hear him. I said God is going to touch you.
Amen.
Preach that to someone. Tell the person God is going to touch the person. Tell the person with confidence. Maybe the person didn't hear me. Assure the person. Promise the person that God will touch him. Hallelujah. God will touch us and will be changed. Are you expectant? Hallelujah. Praise God. Have your seat in God's house. Good evening, everyone. Hallelujah. We began a teaching on Sunday. What was titled, What Manner of Love. Glory to God. And of course, we took that statement, we lifted that statement directly from 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Did this teaching bless you on Sunday? Hallelujah. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You see, teachings like these have to come from time to time. They have to be repeated time after time. You know, because there's a difference between hearing about something and then knowing something. There's a difference between having a knowledge of something and then being convinced about a thing. Let me say this to you. If you find yourself from time to time oscillating between opinions, right? You find out the proof is that you don't know, the truth is that you don't know that thing you think you know. I give an example. If you find yourself, maybe you've learned about the fact that God is a healer, but then from time to time you find yourself doubting it. Of course, there could be things that will create occasional doubts, but you find yourself doubting such things again and again. One major thing it means is that you don't know it. Because if you know things, I'm not saying thoughts of doubt cannot cross your mind, but it cannot be often. It cannot even be two times in a year. It's too often. I'll give you an example. You know your name. Have you ever wondered what if this is not your name? You know it could cross your mind. But it can be, if every day you're wondering, am I sure this is my name? There's something that's actually wrong with you. You mean you don't know it. And that's why you need to know the love of God. I know you know that God loves you. It's a general teaching. It's a general statement. We say, oh, God loves me. Oh. But then, you need to know it beyond what people say. You need to know it beyond the statement you are making. It's something that has to take hold of you like solid conviction. Such that nobody or not anything can talk you out of it. Such that it will take the devil and whatever forces so much to talk you out of that reality. You know, if I come to you now and tell you that your name is not your name, and even provide evidence, show you your birth certificate, you know you will agree with me if I show your birth certificate and other things. But the agreeing with me will not change anything. It will not change that if I call you that name by the next minute, you will not answer it. It will take a lot to uninstall that thing from your head, because it's something you know. You know, one of the proofs that you don't know a thing is that you always doubt it from time to time. I'm just telling the truth. Now, it doesn't call for condemnation. It calls for more study and more knowledge. One of the major proofs that you don't know a thing is that you always doubt that thing from time to time. Now, when there is proper knowledge, conviction, thoughts of doubts could arise from time to time. But you won't take the thoughts. If you find yourself always taking thoughts of doubts, thoughts of unbelief, the chances are you don't know that thing. It means you have to go further into studying and paying attention to the details. Are you following what I'm saying now? Are you following me now? So you may not like Nigeria, for instance, but Nigeria is your country. You know it like you know your name. You know, if I come and explain to you that you're not from Nigeria, that your father is from California, you know you're gonna be some of you might be very happy. But if we still present you with a form to fill the next minute and say country, nationality, you will start writing N-I-G-E before you remember, I'm not from here. It's going to take a lot. I guess even though you like the other reality, the other reality you know has not still left your head. And that's what I'm talking about, knowledge. Knowing things beyond knowledge. That's why people come to the point and they say, you know, I'm not even sure. Sometimes I doubt whether God loves me. Because, you know, I prayed 2 days ago and this thing happened. There's nothing wrong with you. It just means you really need to know. I get to the point. You really need to know. You've heard it, but you don't know it. Why? Because I'm not even sure if I'm saved. You know, sometimes I just wake up and begin to wonder, am I sure I'm not going to hell? It's fine. You really need to know. You might have heard it, but you don't know it. Are you following what I'm saying now? If you prayed for healing, and then healing didn't come as you expected, or when you expected, and then you began to doubt, am I sure that God is a healer and all of that? It means you really don't know that God is a healer. Now, you've heard it too. You might have received healing 1 or 2 times. I get the point. But there is still, if it takes just anything to provoke thoughts of doubt from your inside, it means you don't know anything. You don't know that thing. Because the thing about it is, everything you think you know will be challenged. And it is in the face of the challenge that you can really prove that you know what you know. Are you following what I'm saying now? So if in the face of any challenge, you begin to doubt what you think you know, the chances are you need to really know. It means you don't know. Everything you think you know will be challenged. God is good is a popular statement, but hello, that statement will be challenged by circumstances. Yes. God loves you is a popular statement, but it will be challenged. What are the days that you pray and things are not working, things are not coming along the way you want them? When all your expectations come crashing down your face. Those are the days where God is good as a statement is being challenged. We saw that during immersion. The Bible tells us that when that word fell on the thorny ground, right? He said challenges came, tribulations came. The Bible explained them as thorns. But notice what we saw in that study. The Bible said that seed died, not because of the thorns. Do you remember that? But because it had no root. So there is nobody that will not face challenges. Those challenges are coming to test what you say that you know. And so that's why we teach basic things like this, like teaching about the love of God. People say, this is a basic thing. I already know that God is love. Do you really know it? Because life is going to come and it's going to come to test that thing that you think you know. Life will come. Issues will come. Challenges will come. Are you following what I'm saying? The devil will come for everything you think you've received. And that's why it's not just good to hear things and assume you know them. There is knowing. There is knowing. There is knowing. Beyond knowledge. I see people who think or who say they are called of God, for instance. And they even answer the call. Some of them even go start churches. But then after 2 weeks, 2 years of running the church, they stop. And you ask them why. They say, the challenges are too much. I don't even know whether God sent me here. I have to go and check. The point is, he doesn't know. God possibly sent him. But what he just heard was, that's why we always say things like, when you are called of God to do a work, spend quality time praying. People think that spend quality time praying is to actually confirm whether God called you. No, you know that God called you. But some of those times of spending time praying, what it builds into you is conviction. That you get to a point where you know beyond knowing. If you're married, and at every slight provocation that happens in your marriage, you begin to doubt, did God really speak to me? You don't need to go and pray further. Praying further is not for God to tell you something else. Are you following what I'm saying? You're married, but every small thing that happens, say, am I sure this? Are you sure I didn't marry wrongly? I get what I'm saying. Am I sure I made the right choice? If it comes all the time, you need to go to prayer for God to plant those convictions, those thoughts. I get what I'm saying now. That you get to a point where you know things beyond knowing. And even when things are going bad, you say, I'm here because God said I should be here. I know God sent me here. That is the whole idea between praying for long before you get married. That's the whole idea behind it. The whole idea behind praying for love for your grandmother is not to know whether God will speak to you. God can speak to you in the next minute. Are you following the point? But the whole idea, just like Paul saying, we'll pray that prayer on Sunday, that you should pray that you will know the love of God. What kind of prayer is that? You just know that God loves us. We already know it. Why are you now saying we should now pray that we should know it? Are you following me, friends? He's saying you should pray to know it beyond what I've said. I get to the point. To know it to the point where it is a reality. It's like it has settled in your heart. Like nothing can shift it again. And that's why this teaching is very important. Don't say, well, love of God, I already know that God loves me. You know, but it's beyond that. You have to learn it and learn it and learn it and keep learning it. And you know, one of the ways to, people say, sir, is it possible to really know something and then later doubt it? Yes. It's possible to really, really know something and be convinced about something and let her begin to doubt it. It means you no longer know it as you knew it before. What does that mean? It means you have to keep learning whatever you know to keep knowing it. Do you know why you are still convinced that your name is your name? Because every day we call you by that name. That's why. Every day we call you by that name. Every day we call you by that name, we are reinforming you and your mind that this is your name. That's why if we don't call you by that name for like 3, 4, 5 years, it will get to time if you call it by that name and not respond. Because I follow what I'm saying now. That's why it's not just enough to say, well, I know that God loves me. There's a need that some of these truths, we relearn them, know them again and again. Because if you think you have known, just like the decision on divine healing, I know that God heals now. Who doesn't know that? I've seen too much. Have you wondered why some people have worked miracles? They've put in some blind eyes, those blind eyes have opened. 5 years or 10 years after they begin to say they don't believe in divine healing again. Are you following me? And they are wondering, but you received healing right before my eyes. Oh, God, your leg was broken. It straightened before my eyes. I even saw you put us on the sick and see God did. He said, leave all those things. All those things is psychology. Why is he talking like that? He has stopped learning what he knew. So it's not just enough to hear something. Secondly, it's not just enough to have known something. It is enough to know something and to keep knowing it. That's why Jesus put it this way. He said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. It's not if you hear my word. It's not if you know my word. It's if you continue. So to the degree that you continue in the word, it's to the degree that you're a disciple. So in other words, one can be a disciple today and not be a disciple tomorrow. If you stop growing in the word, you're no longer a disciple. Are you following me today? So don't just hear these words. Don't just say, well, I know them. I think I've read 30 books on the love of God. Those days. I used to read. I know these things. You don't know it again. If everything you have is used to, you don't know it again. But there are some of you that in the past 3-5 years, you've never read a book or heard a teaching on divine healing. You've never strengthened your conviction on those facts of healing. It will dawn on you very shortly. One of these days, when you are diagnosed with a sickness, you now find that you don't know anything about it. You now begin to doubt many things. Are you following what I'm saying? That many of you have learned righteousness by faith, grace, new creation realities, this and that. How you think I know it now? What they say, you know, the book for them. Why do you think that there are the books I give you to read every month are, I keep reloading them? Sometimes I say, read Andrew Mark's book. I wonder, I read this book last 2 months. Give us another one. No, that's how it works. That's how it works. Are you following the point? You have to keep knowing. It is when you continue. And you don't ever stop. Because if you think you've known and you stop knowing, then you stopped knowing actually. You stopped knowing. So I just gave a perfect example with your name. If you call your name, you know, there are names that you bear, but you're not even aware that it's your name. It's your name. You know it, head knowledge that it's your name, but because somebody calls you by that name, if possibly someone calls them, you're not going to respond. Are you getting the point? Are you following me now? And if I'm prophesying here now, and I say that if somebody called this, if there's a name I'll call, you will be the first to jump out. But you know, I could call a name that is actually your name, but it will take you like 2 minutes to know that. Ah, that's me. Yeah. Yes. Because you're not used to it. Now, the fact that you're not used to it, does it change the fact that it's your name? No, it's your name, but you don't know it. So, don't just be people that have heard that God is good. I know that God is love. That you think you know will be challenged. Life will challenge it. So, when we teach that these are coming, pay close attention to them. And learn these things. Because these are some of the basic foundational truths in your walk with God. That if you miss some of these foundational teachings, if you miss them, it will show. Just like building. Right? If you are building, any mistake you make at the foundation level will show. It will show later. Some of those mistakes, you have to destroy some parts of the building to be able to correct them. Are you following what I'm saying? You have to. Imagine you plan that your house is going to have 3 bedroom. You want to make a 3 bedroom flat. So there's going to be a sitting room, then 3 rooms, then each of the room have 3 bedroom, all of that. And then when you are at the foundation level, you did not work on the foundation for one of the rooms. Do you know if you have to, and then you are done, it's not where you finish doing German floor, raising this thing. I say, hey, want to add one room. What do you have to do? You know, you might have to break up that German floor. And redig. Sometimes you can't even do that in some cases. So there are mistakes people make in the foundational days of their Christian work. And they get some of these things wrong. That's why when some arguments come up on Facebook and on social media, and people are arguing, you just see that some people have missed a basic foundational truth in their journey. And it's affecting everything. It's affecting prayer. It's affecting their evangelism. It's affecting their ministry. The teaching on the love of God is foundational. That if you miss it, it will affect your prayer life. It will affect your study life. It will affect your love work. It will affect your marriage. I say it will affect everything. Foundational. There are some of those foundational teachings. There are some of them. This is one of them. Are you following me? I have to get it right. You know that people that believe that God loves you, He loves you, Shah, but if you do anyhow, I don't get the point. He loves you, but He loves you to the extent that you are willing to love Him. Just like, you know, if you see, if it's maybe a simple statement, and then we'll start arguing about it. People say, why are you guys arguing about this basic thing? I beg. It better say that he believes that God loves him. But it's a very dangerous error. Because that will begin to show up in his daily work. That will begin to show up in his ministry. That will begin to show up in his relationships. That will begin to show up in his prayer life. Because he has believed a lie. A foundational lie. Are you still here now? So, look at that. 1 John 3 verse 1. He said, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So God has loved us. Paul, talking about this in Ephesians 3 verse 17, that prayer we prayed on Sunday, he said that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all sense what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth all knowledge. He now said that you might be filled with the fullness of God. So you actually cannot walk in the fullness of God if you don't understand the length, the depth, the breadth, and the height of God's love. In other words, your walk with God will be shaky if you don't understand it. Are you following the point? You will not enjoy the best of Christianity. Amen. You know, when I go for a new church plant, when I want to plant a new church, what I wanted to plant, when we were planting this center, this church, that's 2019, right? 2018, 2019. Some of the foundational teachings I did then, some of the things I did, there are teachings I deliberately start with. You will hear me teach around the nature of God. Amen. The character of God. You hear those teachings in my foundational days. You hear me teach around grace, new creation realities. Those things are so foundational that if you don't get them right, it will affect every other thing. Are you following me? Yeah. Then you hear me teach about the fact we all are ministers. Those are foundational teachings. That if you miss them, it's going to affect every other thing. So he said, that you may know the love of God, that you may be filled. Let me read that verse to you with the Passion Translation. Those three verses. He said that by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be, watch this, then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences. The great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all his dimensions. You will... Okay, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love? How enduring and inclusive it is? Endless love beyond measurements that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to the overflowing with the fullness of God. So you want to understand and enjoy the fullness of God, then understand the love of God to its full capacity. The more you understand the love of God, the more you can walk in the fullness of God. You miss that basic Christian teaching, and you're trying to do ministry, you're trying to serve God. You're going to struggle. Amen. And I was showing you, you must respond well to the love of God, right? You must respond well. Let me start from somewhere. I mentioned the last one. Let me start from it today. Love is the nature of God. Love is not just something that God does. It's not just that God loves us. Love is who God is. 1 John 4 verse 8, God is love. 1 John 4 verse 16, God is love. And until you understand God as love, you've not known God. Every time I teach you on the character of God, I always start from this point. Last day I taught you on God Uncensored. I said a few things around that series. I think it was from part 1 to almost 13. But where I started that teaching from is God is love. If I'm going to do that teaching again, I'll start from there. Because that is the full revelation of the person of God. So if you know God as another thing, if you don't know him basically as love, you really don't know him yet. that foundational truth that God is love. It is from that foundation that you explain over that thing. Questions like, is God the consuming fire? It's from the foundation of God is love that you explain it. Are you getting the point? Is God a healer? Foundation is God is love. I follow me at all. Does God forgive? Foundation. Everything you want to know about God, you have to understand that basic truth. That God is love. God doesn't just love. It's not just one of his attributes. He is love. Personified. He's love personified. So God is love. God is love. Love is God's true nature. The Bible calls it love. Other places you see words like grace being explained as the true nature of God. You know, if you read, I think that's John, the book of John chapter 1. And we have just mentioned grace. Let me show you something. John chapter 1 and verse 1. He said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he said, in the beginning the Word was with God, and that Word was God. Of course, he's talking about Jesus. Then you go all the way down to verse 14. He now said, and the Word was made flesh. Remember, in verse 1, he tells us that the Word is God, right? So when he said the Word was made flesh, what does he mean? God was made flesh. I get to the point. Verse 1 said, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 now said, and the Word became flesh. So God became flesh. So when we say that Jesus is God, this is what we're saying. God became flesh. Okay? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. What did we behold in that glory? Full of grace and truth. Full. So God that became flesh is full of grace and truth. People say, well, God is full of grace. He's also full of truth. And they try to explain it as though grace and truth are two different things. No, they are not. They are not. Grace is truth. Are you following me now? And to help, one of the things that can help us unravel that verse very well is maybe when we check other translations. NLT said, the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. That's what King James calls grace and truth. So truth doesn't mean like principle. I get it, but people say God is full of grace and principle. Grace is his love. The truth starts with principle. No, the Bible says, NLT says, unfailing love and faithfulness. So God is a faithful God. God is a God of love. That's the foundational teaching about Christianity. About who God is. You miss that very simple fact, you'll be, every other thing is wrong. Are you following me, friends? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you have to understand the love of God. So God is love. Love isn't just what he does. Love is who he is. And, you know, talking about this love of God, I'll say a few things about the love of God today. First is that this love of God is an impartial love. Impartial love. You know, what that means is that God loves everybody equally. Yes. You know, you have to realize God loves everybody equally. I'm just giving you foundational truths about the love of God. This love is impartial. So there is nobody on earth that God loves more than the other person. Religious minds have an issue with this statement, but it is forever true. There is nobody on earth that God loves more than the other person. Bring it home to the church. There is no Christian that God loves more than another Christian. Acts 10 verse 34. Peter, Bible said, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter. But if you have your Bible, please open that Acts 10 34. It's a basic truth in your lesson on the love of God. Are you there now? I'll wait for you. Acts 10 34. Are you there? Let's read together. Let me read to you with New Living Translation. He said, then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In verse 35, he said, in every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. So, in other words, the case here was, Peter went to the house of Cornelius, and Peter was shocked that the same way they received the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues in Acts 2, this Gentile nation also received the Holy Ghost and are speaking in tongues the same way. No difference. So in other words, Peter used to think that what happened in Acts 2 was peculiar to the Jewish nation. But alas, he was seeing that this Gentile nation, or these Gentile guys, gave the same response they gave in Acts 2 and are having the same results. God is no respecter of persons. What that means is that God shows no favoritism. What it means is that God loves everybody the same way. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody is going to go to heaven. What that means is that God has given everybody the same provision. That means even if what is the biggest sin you can think of? If that person says, Jesus, I accept you today, God accepts the person today. And when God accepts that person, the person stays accepted. Now, let me tell you what that also means. What that means is that as we all are Christians, one Christian may be more perfect in his conduct than another Christian. One person may live right more than another person. One person may be more given to evangelism more than another person. One person might have a calling and another person doesn't have a calling. One person might even be more anointed, whatever that means to you, than another person. But all of us are equally loved by God. That's what it means. Are you following me, friends? All of us. That's what the Bible said. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we may be called the sons of God. So what is the love of God? How is it displayed? That we are called the sons of God. Or let me put it this way. That we can be called sons of God. When I mean we, I mean everybody on earth can be called. But not everybody on earth is called. So the provision is that anybody on earth, black, white, green, yellow, can be called the sons of God. But when we now respond, we are now called the sons of God. How do we respond? By believing in him and putting our faith. Are you following the points now? This is why when we go to preach, we preach to all men. Because we know that God's love is impartial. So even if you met that person, you enter the room and you met the person committing the biggest sin in your own book. The person is still deserving of the gospel. Because even at that point, God still loves the person. That it may look scandalous to you. Because religious mind fights this kind of teaching. That's what I'm trying to say. So God accepts everybody. Everybody. Even the terrorists. The terrorists that burn churches. So God loves them. Yes. So God loves the terrorist the same way he loves Rehad Bonnke. Yeah. Yes. Amen. Will the terrorist go to heaven? No. But I thought you said God loves him. Yes. But he will have to accept the love of God. My point is that the amount of love coming from God towards the earth and towards men is constant. Nothing changes it. It only changes. What the difference is that some have accepted that love by believing in him. Some have not. But whether you accept or not, he still loves you. Do you know even when you will go to hell and you'll be burning up in hell, God still loves you. But he cannot do anything to help you at that point. But he loves you. You have to realize that God is love. There is no hate in him. He even lacks the capacity to hate you if he now wants to hate you. Amen. What you can see that God ever says he hates, you see, he loves righteousness. He hates iniquity. That's what kind of things you'll be seeing. But you will not see the Bible say he hates the sinner. Are you following me? But he can hate iniquity. So can you hate what is in a person and not hate the person? Yes. When the doctor wants to conduct a simple appendix operation, what do they call it? Appendating. The doctor will cut the patient open. He hates that appendix, but loves the patient. So when you know, when the doctor says, "I'm going to give you this for malaria," he likes you, but he hates the malaria. So I follow in the point now. So actually, God has no hatred for anybody. But are there not people that have done so much that he loves them more? No. There's nobody like that. If that's the case, it means people are now qualifying and earning the love of God. And once he gets to that point, nobody can qualify again because God's standard is too high. So if he doesn't love others more than the other people, why then are there people he's sending and he's not sending others? I didn't say he trusts all of us the same. God loves all of us the same. He doesn't trust all of us the same. I get to the point. Trust is a function of responsibility. I trust you because you live up to whatever I gave you. I get to the point. You can love all your children. You have 5 children. You love all your children. But you know their different capacities. I get to the point. You know that this is a pure water factory. That there is a son of yours that if you send there, he will run it down. He won't even show up at work. I get to the point. He's not up to that kind of thing. But then he loves teaching. And you have a school. You have a school. You also have a pure water factory. One is a businessman through and through. The other one loves to teach. That's his passion. So you're going to send, you're not going to send the one that loves to teach the pure water factory. Not because you don't love him. But because you cannot trust him with that responsibility. I get what I'm saying now. So yes, God loves us equally. He doesn't trust us equally. Trust with God can improve. God can trust you more with things. That's the truth. God can trust you more. That's why if God gives you 5 things, 5 people to take care of, and you do well, he can trust you with 10. We saw that in the parable of the talents. I get to the point now. He can trust you with more. Now, that trust is a different ballgame, a different topic. But when it has to do with love, he can't love you more than he has loved you. He has loved you. The highest display of love is that he has sent Jesus to die. So God's love is impartial. It's fair to everybody. So God loves me the same way he loves you. You see this basic truth? It will even affect your prayer life. There are some that will say, let me call Papa. Even if God will not hear my own, he will hear Papa's own. Because somehow you cannot believe that Papa, that one, is in God's, they have a different meeting. It's not the same Bible we read that they read. It's not the same in what witness we use. I have your witness. I think Pastor has. that's trash. That's nonsense. God loves everybody the same. Yes. Because you realize on Sunday we're looking at it. The fact that we're looking at the truth, the things to point us to the fact that God loves us. Remember? We talked about the fact that everybody has a natural deposit. Remember we mentioned that on Sunday. We also talked about the fact that Jesus has died for everyone. Now, if he died for everyone, it means he loves everybody the same way. We also talked about the fact that he has given us the Holy Ghost. And he gave every believer the Holy Ghost. So it's equal love. Somebody's going to say, "Sabai, what does do unbelievers have the Holy Ghost?" No. So it means God loves believers more than unbelievers. No. It means believers have received the provision of God's love and unbelievers have not received it. Are you following what I'm talking about here now? Are unbelievers saved? No. Does it mean God loves believers more than them? No. It just means that believers have opened up to the love that God has showed them in salvation. Unbelievers are yet to open up to it. So this love of God is impartial. So that lie in your head that God doesn't love you is obviously being told you by the devil. Because there is nobody he even hates. Are you following me, friends? Any day you wake up and you're not feeling loved by God, it's just your feeling. And the devil is playing a very fast one on you. It's not God talking to you. God doesn't drop his love. Do you know that most humans can't even reduce their love for their children. Sometimes, women can be, God is not like that, but sometimes women can be so angry and say, you, my child, I disown you. If I die, don't come for my burial. Da, 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 da. And then, after some time, you hear that your child is in the hospital. They said one of his kidneys is bad. You pack up. Pack up your things. Say, go to the London. Why did you call me all the while? Is that how people behave? I thought you said you should not come for your burial if you die. You know, the point is, even human beings, it takes an extra level of wickedness. I feel what I'm saying. It takes a extra level of wickedness to just shut your mind like that. Now, this is man. Now, talk of God. Man is not love, oh. God is love. Man is not love. I get the point. Man can love. It's not the man in Christ that love of God that shall abide is that by the Holy Ghost. He said, even he said, but the man in Christ is love. The man in Christ is love. He's just a spirit man. His soul, mind, body. You see it? But that's not God. God is love. God is the spirit. When he came on earth, he was still love. Bible said he became flesh, full of grace and truth. That's who he is. That's why you're dealing with. You should know who you're dealing with. Say, God loves me. Shout it. That's why I can tell you, if you go to preach to a sinner, if you don't know where to start from, that is a common ground you can start from. You can never be wrong. God loves you. It is forever true. He said, how are you sure? Very, very sure. It's one ground that once you hit, you are a prophet. You can even say, thus says the Lord, I love you. Because it's a general truth. God is a lover. He loves. So his love is impartial. It is to everyone. It is the same to every believer. Same to every believer. Someone says, so we should not mind how we live our lives since God loves all of us. Were you living right to end God's love? If you are living right to end God's love, give up. You can never end God's love by living right. If that's why you're living right to end God's love, give up already. No, but you have failed. Do you know how you will behave for the King of Kings and Lord of God to say, ah, you've done so well. I now love you. Think about that. Amen. There are many people who are, and I'm going to address that today. Maybe when, if we get there, if not today, Sunday, who are working so hard to end the love of God. That's a terrible thing to do. You fail. You can't end God's love. You can't end God's love. And I think you are trying to end the love. You know, if you want to end the love of a human being, what do you do? If you want to end a guy's love or a lady's love, what do you do? I tell you what to do. You're trying to get a lady to love you. You just find out, you just start being very proper. Find out what she likes, start doing it. Brother Sabi, you're not aware. Find out what she likes, start doing it. That's where you find out that many guys can speak English. When they speak to their fellow guys, it's, guy, how fun, how you doing? When they call that guy, hello, how you doing? You know, you're trying to be proper. I'm going somewhere with this, so. Tell me, proper. Hello, how are you doing? Are you okay? If the girl says, I want to, please, when you tell them, I want us to see, and the girl says, fine, let's see. That day, you know, you must iron your clothes. You can't, you dare not wear. Iron your clothes, polish your shoe, come out. If you have a car, you must wash your car. If you are coming and somebody scratch your car, you have a problem that day. You just park and say, yo, good evening, you're welcome. You look so dashing today. You know, I pointed out. You know what they're trying to do? You're trying to win somebody's love. And the girl may fall for it. You might use all your money and be buying gifts for her. She doesn't even know you don't have money. Now you see where I'm going with this. She doesn't even know you don't have money. She doesn't know you're broke. You say, what do you want? Just point it. You're going to have it. And the girl will be feeling like, man, this guy is so generous.
He doesn't know. She doesn't know that if they ask your sister, that's why I say it's generous. How about we take your money or even the one you have?
But look at the thing. You are trying to win a human being's love. So all these things can fly. You can continue until you win the person's heart and it works. But the problem is that you are dealing with God. For man, you can pretend. For God, as you are trying to speak proper English, how you do, he's in your heart. I don't get the point. So you can't win God's love. That's what I'm trying to say. As in church shouting, Jesus, I love you. I'm raising your hand. He's looking at you. Say you. He knows you too much. So you can't win that love. That's the point I'm trying to make. Because you can't hide anything from him. Point is that winning someone's love has to do with a little, it's not like, I won't call it pretense, but you guys hide some kind of things. I can see the point. That's why we normally teach ladies, when you're going on your first dates, there are things you don't do. Sisters, praise God. Don't go on your first date and start eating like a hoodlum. They say, let's take you out. Say, okay, what do you want to eat? Say, what do they have? He said, I want number 4, number 6, number 8. This number 13. They have 16. They have 19. Bring everything. And do you guys do take away here? You can't do all of that because, come on, you're trying to impress whether I like it or not. He said, no, I don't pretend. You do. Okay, it's not pretense. What do we call it? Packaging. You're being feminine. We just eat a little. You say, you don't eat much. You say, you. You don't eat much. Is that when the guy finally marries you? What about fighting for pots? Just marries you. You say, baby, I want to cook. So how many cups of rice are you making? Let's just make two. You say two. You now ask him, like, you're not eating. No. And he's wondering, it's not the same guy. Because the point is, but sisters, praise God, I'm serious. So don't go and embarrass yourself. For going out is good. Do you understand? When they say, are you hungry? That's why I'm going to encourage you, when you want to go out with a guy, make sure you eat. Don't go hungry. Never. Sir, what if drink garri? Make sure someone is full. Just make sure you take something. So it's not when they say, do you want this? You are remembering this teaching now on that day, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is. The mind is willing, but the stomach is weak. I say, are you hungry? I say, well, I can manage. So it's something light. Praise God. Now, but end point is that to win people's love, you just have to. Pretense may not be the word, but you have to, you know. The word is packaging, Abby. You have to just package small. But the point is, you can't package for God. Because he knows you. When you're saying, I don't eat much, he's looking at you. You can't package for him. So any attempt to win the love of God will be a failed attempt. And he knows it. That's why his love is impartial. Are you getting what I'm saying now? He just loves you. And that's next I'm going to say, his love is unconditional. Unconditional. He attaches no conditions to his love. God doesn't do, I love you if you are this. If you are not this, I do not love you. I love you once you do this. And you know, that's how man talks. That's not how God talks. You know, man's love is conditional. Are you following me? He says, I love you. But people say, I love you unconditionally. Some of those lies they tell in marriage. But man's love is, to a very large extent, conditional. It shouldn't be, but it is. Because no matter how you love someone, there's something the person, There's a question I normally ask people when they go for marriage class. I always ask them, what is that one thing that your partner will do and it will be difficult for you to forgive? Do you have one thing your partner would do and it's difficult for you to forgive? What is it for you? So most ladies, you hear them say, if he lays his hands on me, you know, those kind of things. Now, it's not like I won't forgive him, but it will be hard. In other words, it tells that there is condition attached. Some of us will say, if he ever begins to sleep with different men or sleep with different ladies, I can't have it. Man's love is conditional. Are you following me? But the love of God is unconditional. Now, this is where we teach to, and people feel we are just endorsing people to misbehave. No, I'm not endorsing people to misbehave. I'm just telling you a foundational truth in God's word. And I will show you. Let me show you a scripture if I proceed. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. 1 John 4, verse 9. God's trust could be conditional, but his love is unconditional. Are you following me? That's why you can hear us say things like, if you live a careless life, don't take your prayer life seriously. God will not use you mightily upon the earth. That is the truth. What it means is that he will not trust you to use you, but he will still love you. Are you following the point? He will not trust you to use you. That things he can't use you for. Don't take your prayer life seriously. You are not growing spiritually. You are not receiving training. What is going to happen is that God will not use you because he doesn't trust you. Because in the military, you don't send someone you've not trained. So he wants to train before he sends you. In fact, if you send someone you've not trained, that is not love. That's wickedness. So in fact, the fact that God doesn't use people who are not serious is also a sign of his love towards them. You didn't hear what I said? If you're not serious, God will not use you. You know why he won't use you? Because he loves you. I get to the point. Because if you claim you are someone's father, a person is in the army, he doesn't even know how to shoot gun. And they say that they're doing peacekeeping in Niger Republic. You say, I'm going to send you my son. I love you, son. It's actually, I hate you, son. I want to kill you. So a proof that you love your son is, this guy is not fit for this assignment, so I'm not going to send him. I'm going to keep him at home. That's a proof of love. Are you following what I'm saying now? So when you say, God doesn't send people, he doesn't train. Don't tell me, but he loves all of us. That's why he won't send you. Because he loves you. Because if he sends you, you're going to die. You become casualty to devils. Are you following me? But as for the love of God, it's unconditional. 1 John 4 verse 9, he said, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. That's what I'm trying to make. God loved us first. So the love of God, hear this. The love of God is not a reaction to our love. It is rather our love that is a reaction to his love. God does not react. The love of the believer is a reaction. So the way I'm teaching you the love, by the time I'm done with this series, and what I've brought you to a point where you are so much loving on God, what have I done? The love of God is now making you to love. But God's love is not a reaction to anything. So the Bible said, caring is love. Not that we loved God. Not that we initiated the process. Not that we did anything. Just that he loved us. Think about this. Before God, Jesus died on the cross, you have not been born. So you've not done anything good or bad. So the greatest act of God's love or show of his love happened before you were ever created. Before you were ever born. So he has loved you before you even had capacity to be good or to be bad. Are you following me, friends? Before God brought Adam into the garden, he already loved Adam. Made a beautiful garden for him. Prepared the place for him. Ensured everything was fine. That is him saying to Adam, it's not about anything you're going to do. This place is set. Has been set for you, King. And even made provision that if Adam sins, there will be sacrifice of Jesus. That's why the Bible says that the love of God, that the Son of God, that's Jesus, was slain, the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. And that was even from the foundation of the world, God already planned that Jesus would die. Are you following me? So there was already provision for Adam's sin before Adam sinned. So it was not because Adam sinned and cried that God now said, okay, Jesus will come. Are you following me? Before he even sinned, provision was made. That is loving you in advance. That's unconditional love. You can't merit that love. It's not attached to anything you've done or anything you can do. There's nothing you can do that can change it. It's not conditional. It's not based on. It's not that I love you until. It's not that I will love you if. No. Some of you are here, you think you've seen the way the love of God. I'm actually, it's not true. You have not seen the way God's love. You can't even see the way God's love. You can't out-seen his love. You can't out-seen his love. It's unconditional. Somebody shout a loud amen. It's unconditional. So in my note I said, God loves us because he is love. Simple. God doesn't love us because we are good. He loves us because that's who he is. Why does a dog bark? Huh? Because it is a dog. Simple. Are you following me, friends? A dog does not bark, you know, because it's a dog. So when a dog barks, it is being a dog. When a cat, when a cat does what? That's what they're saying. But for real, what do you call? I know what is the English word. As an English word, can you play it in Scrabble and it will pass? Well, when a cat does that thing, it's being a cat. When a cock crows, it's just being a cock. When God loves, he's being God. Are you following me? He's not trying to do it because of you. When a goat bleats, he's just being a goat. When God loves, he's being God. When God forgives, he's being God. When he's being merciful, he's just being God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So God's love is unconditional. It's not tied to anything. So if you are here, you're feeling well, all this. You know there are people who are not serving God today, who are not trying themselves to do God's work and doing all of that because they don't believe that God loves them like that. They believe there are people that God just loves more. At least even if you see their lives. You know, I may get that. Somebody told me, a lady told me many years ago. Small girl. I was telling her that God loves her. Casual conversation. She now said, I know, but there are people he loves more. I said, oh, so why do you think so? And she proved it to me. She said, look at me. I'm short. Yeah. I'm short. I'm dark. My face is round. I'm not intelligent. She said, let me show you somebody. I don't know the girl. She mentioned one girl in her school. Tall, elegant, bright. Smartest in the school. You look at her. Comes from a rich home. My own father is poor. If you are in that category, break out from that rubbish. You can't use those things to qualify whether God. God loves all of us unconditionally. Before you are even born, he has loved you. So why are some people poor? Why are others rich? That's another topic for another day. Why are some people talk why others short? DNA. DNA. And if this is anything to go by, that lady eventually got married before many people. Her life took up before many people's life. In the natural. Because sometimes no be by. I was talking to my brother recently. There was one guy when we were in secondary school, in primary school. Brightest, bright. Very intelligent, very smart. So I met him recently.
I didn't even know him. Or maybe I knew him, but I didn't believe that could be him. So he came and said, "You don't know me." I said, "Well, I said I'm your brother's friend." So I quickly brought out my phone and snapped him. He didn't know. And said to my brother, I said, "Who is this guy?" He said, "He told me, no, you know this guy." I mentioned it. I didn't believe it was the guy. Because with how smart and intelligent that boy was in secondary school, I was thinking by now, we should be cleaning his shoe. But the state I saw him that day was a sorry state. And that tells you, you can't use all those things to judge life and even people's future. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not be by all this one. No. I won't say more than that. If I've left university, you know what I'm saying is true. See some people that, when you guys were in secondary school, they were the smartest. You said, if you think you'll be their gate man. That's why, you know, you can't use all those things to judge whether God loves anybody more. And I don't know why I want to say to some of you, don't judge your future by what you are seeing today. Trust God. Even if your life is so beautiful today, you are having the best of results, you came out with a first class, don't still judge your future by that. Well, there are people who are like you, who are having a tough time. Still trust God. Are you following what I'm saying now? See, trust God. That's a story for another day. But this guy was telling me, "Oh, God, look, God, if he loves me, why is this other person's life? Why is this?" Point out a few people. The pay attention, I can tell you, God's love is unconditional. You can't use this to judge whether he loves or not. I can say a few more things about the love of God. His love cannot be broken. It's still content to be unconditional. It cannot be broken. Nothing can change it. You can't sin to a point and God will say, "No, I'm done loving you." He will never do that. So, what of the unpardonable sin? The unpardonable sin, simply put, the Bible describes it as blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. How do you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost? It is to go against, to go and speak against what the Holy Ghost stands for. What's the job of the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost, the Bible tells us in the same book of John, that he testifies concerning Christ. So to go against the testimony of the Holy Ghost is to blaspheme against Christ. Right? And what is going against, what does the Holy Ghost stand for? The Holy Ghost testifies about Christ. What is the testimony of the Holy Ghost concerning Christ? That he has died on the cross and you have to believe in him. Now, when you reject this simple truth, that is blasphemy. That's the sin that cannot be pardoned. That's unbelief. When you reject the gospel, that's, I get what I'm saying. Sin against the Holy Ghost or blasphemy is not where you speak fake tongue. Roboto, 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 shaka, bada, bada. Because all of you did it at some point. Some of you did the roboscata. But it doesn't mean you've sinned against the Holy Ghost. The only man that has committed the unpardonable sin, in quotes, is one that has not believed in Christ. Why is it unpardonable? It's unpardonable because God's only provision for pardon, he has rejected it. But you see, any day he accepts accepts Christ, then he has come up from unpardonable sin. It's as simple as that. I get the point now. Yes. So, there is no body, you can't sin to a point that God says, "Ah, oh boy, you serve the sin. This one you did is bigger than my cross. This one is bigger than my cross." You want to use sin and kill the blood of Jesus? No. We can't deal with this. You have hypo? My blood can't wash this one away. It can't happen. His love cannot be broken. Romans chapter 8, that beautiful scripture, verse 35. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake. Now watch this. Verse 36 is very key. For thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. I'm going to come to this scripture later. Paul said that's passive persecution. He now said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I'll come to that later, maybe today, maybe on Sunday. We are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. Verse 38, everybody, are you there?
Are you in 38? Let's read together, everybody. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what, nothing can break His love. His love is constant. The use of mathematics that is constant, K. His love is constant. Always. Always. It's when you now know these things you are teaching that you can begin to structure your relationship with God. You know, there are people that, for instance, when they commit sin, they say, well, we've not seen you in church for long. You say, me. I did something very terrible. So that's why I just stopped going to church. You know why? Because they think that when they did that terrible thing, that God stopped loving them. You know, when you offend someone, you should know you offended someone. But it is easier for you to come to the person to receive mercy and forgiveness if you know that the person's position towards you did not change. Now, that's why I said affection of flow with God. Imagine someone that believes that when you sin, God stops loving you. What is going to happen is that when he commits sin, it will take him forever to ever begin to walk with God again. He might even stop coming to church. He might even stop praying. He might even stop relating with God because he has done the highest. But I wish you know and you are convinced of the fact that God loves you and his love is constant. When you hurt someone that loves you, it first of all breaks you that you hurt someone that loves you. Does it happen to you? It first breaks you that you hurt someone that loves you. So it doesn't take you away. It takes closer to the person who can say, sorry. 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 But you see, people, when they sin against God, no more church. Say, me, not be my type, they go church. Not be my type, they go church. Yeah. I didn't go church before, but I commit reach myself. No, say, I don't cross the limit. That is a, somebody has taught you wrongly. Maybe they've told you, for instance, that when you commit sin, you cannot go receive Holy Communion in your church. Because when you receive it, what will happen? You are eating curse upon yourself. And first of all, I'm not a fan of those stuffs. Communion, bread, wine. I'm not a fan of them. But let's even go with that. He says, but the Bible says, do this in remembrance of me. Please don't teach me now. I said, I'm not a fan of it, but let's go with it, for instance. So you say there is bread, there is wine. And that wine represents the blood of Jesus, which is meant to wash away your sins. And they say that when you commit sin, you should not go and receive it. I was thinking it's when you commit sin that you should actually go and receive it. So if I have to make sure I'm pure before I come to receive the blood of Jesus, what is the purpose of the blood? That must be useless blood. I feel what I'm saying now. If I have to be clean before I enter your bedroom, so why am I not entering the bedroom? I'm already clean. It's those things that they plant in your head that makes you feel that once you sin against God, God is angry, you have to run away and make yourself right. When you get yourself right, you now show up in church again. That's not the truth. His love is constant. Yes, you know, I see this a lot in children. He used to make us laugh a lot in the house. You see my boy now. My boy likes me a lot. Very, very well. If I'm around, he's around. But sometimes I beat him. You know, just to call his attention. Say, don't go there. Then he starts crying. Very interesting boy. He'll start crying and start running towards me. I'm saying, I thought it's me that beat you. He starts crying. I'm coming towards you. And lift his hand to carry him. Because he's assured that even though that is not happy what I did, his love for me is still constant. That's how to relate with God. That even though sometimes you might not get it right, you don't run from him, you run towards him. Because his love is constant. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can. Nothing can. Say, God loves me. Some of you have left your prayer life because of this. You say, when I go to pray, I just feel so heavy. I can't even pray. I can't even pray. Because the whole scene just flashes before my eye. Once I say in Jesus' name, I just remember the scene. I just run away. Devil is playing a fast one on you. When you go to prayer, you feel so heavy. Keep praying until you stop feeling heavy. Are you following me, everybody? Am I talking to you? Am I telling your story? That's happening sometimes. Say, if I just get there. Say, there is program coming. Say, there is prayer drive. Say, prayer drive. Since I was prayer, me. It's people like you that used to go and pray that kind of prayer. We were on sin throw away. We don't seem tired. God is even done with us. The problem is, where do you think you will get help from that kind of sin, if not in the place of prayer? Where do you think you will get help, if not in studying the word? How do you think you will break out from that cycle of sin if you don't show up in church? Who else do you want to help you? Well, they've told that the only one that can help you, that you can sin his love away. Oh, but thank God his love cannot be broken. His love is unconditional. Always the same. He loves us today like he loved us last week. It has never changed. We are the ones that we are the ones catching up with his love. Oh, are you following me, friends? We are the ones catching up with his love. So there is a day, I woke up today, I just felt the warm embrace of the love of God. That now we are catching up with what has always been. Paul said we cannot understand the depth, the length, the height, and the breadth of it. In other words, it's so big that we can't understand it. So, point is, God loves you so much that you don't even know how much he does. You don't even know how much he does. You don't even know how much. You think he's to this level. You don't even know how much he does. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That love cannot be broken. No height, no depth, not any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. In other words, it is something God has decided to do and nothing you do can change it. It's his choice. Leave it like that. So that will now affect how you relate with him. I thought I was going to say this later. Maybe on Sunday. But let me just mention, maybe on Sunday we'll get into it further. That will now affect even how you pray and how you expect. I'll address it on Sunday. People's expectation when they pray most times is a function of the knowledge of the love of God that they have. Let me break it down for you and use a simple example. Are you still here now? Let me use a simple example for you. You know, when you know that someone loves you, and he says, you know, when someone says make a request, whatever request you're going to make will be dependent on how much you think the person cares about you. Are you getting the point? If you do not believe that someone cares about you, that is something you cannot request. That's something you cannot request. You know, the prodigal son knew that the father loved him. You know, I said that on Sunday. The prodigal son knew the father loved him more than the other brother knew himself. In fact, he used this wrongly. The confidence to walk up to a man and say, share your property and give me. That's bold. That is knowing that this man cares. Then the confidence to go and squander that property that he gave you and return home saying, I know my father, even if he was one of his servants, he will accept me. That confidence is only love that can give. Many of us don't know. We say, ask God for anything. Yeah, praise God. At all now, winch. Anything you give me, anything. Will it be that your son is suffering? Anything you want to give me, just give me what you can. I can manage. You don't know God loves you. You see, when the elder brother came, because the prodigal son came back, and the father threw a party for him. And the elder brother came back. So he got angry. And the father said, why are you angry? He said, I've been with you. I didn't demand anything. You've not even given me a small goat. That's what he said. But you've killed the fattest calf for this guy. You didn't give me a small goat. People have that small goat mentality. Even if it is a small goat, let me manage. Here is someone that knows that the Father loves. He didn't request for small. He requested for half of the Father's wealth. He knew the Father would give. Are you following me? He finished it and came back. Now, that's reckless. But that is something he knows. He came back. The Father welcomed and gave him more than enough. The other brother has been there for long in that house. Has not gotten one party. Has not gotten one property. Somebody has collected one and squandered it and have come back and collected another one. When people doubt the love of God, it affects their prayer point and how they pray. Now, am I applauding the prodigal son for squandering his father's wealth? No. I'm only saying that even when people make mistakes, the speed at which they return to God is a function of the knowledge of the love of God that they have. Are you what I'm talking about? The speed at which they return to God is a function of the love of God that they have, or the knowledge of the love of God that they have. So here, here are you complaining that you don't have small goods. Somebody has squandered half of your father's wealth. Come back, requested, just said, Father, please, Father, embraced him. Get through party for him. You are still asking for small goods. That's why when we ask some of you to pray, you say, God, I'm not asking for too much. Ask for too much. Stop that. Say, God, I'm not asking for too much. Ask for too much. Even if, stop asking even if. Are you following what I'm talking about? Touch your neighbor, say, ask for too much. Shake, say, ask for too much. Our address is on Sunday. That I'm not asking for too much. I'm not asking for too much. I'm just asking that, give me a husband. Even if it's a one-legged husband. Just give me a husband. Even if it is husband, at all, just a husband. Let me just, at all, husband. I'm not even looking for money. You know, you trained me to be content. Yeah, you know it's not true. It affects everything. On Sunday, I'm going to address it. It affects what you expect out of life. You see me, I'm expecting the best out of life. Why? Because God loves me. He says, so if God loves everybody should expect the best out of life. Yes. And I'm going to have the best out of life. Because God loves me. It's a fact. So does God love you more than us? No. But I know it more than you. Are you following the point? All our Father can love all of us the same way. But there is one child that knows that anything I ask that the daddy will give me. Other children might be coming from the back to say, Daddy, please, I want to talk to you about it. You come from the front and say, Daddy, good evening. Amen. Give me 1,000 that you're not using. Your children are bold. Children are bold. Very, very bold. You know, my brother's kids are very sweet children. You see the way they make demands. Just know that these people know that their father can give them anything. When their birthday is approaching, three of them will walk and come and meet the father. Daddy, this person's birthday is coming next month. She doesn't like blue cake. Don't get blue cake. And she doesn't like chocolate. Her favorite flavor is vanilla. But did I tell her I'm buying cake for you? It's not a question of whether you are buying. I'm telling you. You know, in the village, they were telling me, when you want to buy ice cream for us, I say, when? You have said, if. So, he said, my favorite flavor is strawberry. I don't like chocolate, but she likes chocolate. I like strawberry with, is it sprinkles? I'll be water on it. That's the type I like. I don't like that. I say, yeah. You should have asked me if I want to buy it. Are you sure I want to buy ice cream for you before? He said, buy it. Jay said, you'll come and visit us. I said, when you're coming, buy it. Say, yes. I wish you have that kind of boldness in asking God for things. And those kids don't forget. They know faith. Faith doesn't forget. You just think you promise them and then you show up and you not buy it. You're in trouble. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. first love of God. It cannot be broken. Nothing changes it. Again, this love of God is patient. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 tells us that God's love is patient. And what it means is patient enough to wait for you to come out. That's what I'm going to say to you. Don't give up on yourself. The love of God does not give up on people. God's love doesn't give up on people. And that's why in your walk with God, even as a minister of the gospel, you must learn not to give up on people. Some will take 5 months to grow. Some will need 5 years. But you've got to be patient with them. You know why? God is patient with them. God is patient with them. Think about this. Moses wanted to deliver Israel when he was 40. But he wasn't ready for it. Now, hear this. God had to wait 40 years extra for Moses to be ready. So, Israel had to wait 40 years extra in captivity for Moses to be ready. God was patient with Moses till he was ready. I get what I'm saying now. God doesn't give up the way we do. He doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't give up the way we do. He doesn't say, I'm tired of you. We are the ones giving up. Now you've got to be patient on yourself and with yourself. Patient with yourself. You are not getting, now it doesn't mean you settle in sin and your mistakes and challenges. It just means you're not getting some things right. Once you are working on yourself, don't write yourself off. God himself is not writing you off. He's patient with you. That's what I'm even going to tell you. Don't write anybody off. God is far too patient than you can imagine. God's patience, he can wait for 5 years. I just showed you, he waited for Moses for 40 years. 40 years. Because a man was in the process. Now, it's a different thing with a man rejecting the work, rejecting the call. This guy was in the process. God waited. That even tells you how much God cares for man. And God believes in people. God is far too patient. There are people, ministers of the gospel, that people have written off. Say, this one, never. Don't join them in writing people off. Don't join them. You know, at the beginning days of our walk with God, we will not get everything right. But never join the company of men that writes people off. Don't join that. Because if you have been here long enough, you will know that God doesn't write anybody off. There are some people, you know, I can do anything to you if you are working with me. I can discipline you. I can remove you from your position. I can demote you. I can sack you. I can suspend you. I can never write you off. You know, that was the mistake of Peter. Sorry, not Peter, rather. Paul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Maybe I'll just begin to wind down with that. Glory to God. That was the mistake of Paul. They were about to go for mission. They were about to go for mission. Amen. And there was a brother called John Mark. You know John Mark? Who had abandoned them and had run away. At one time. So Barnabas, there's a lot about this story. Because Barnabas actually, in Bible history, is related to John Mark. In some way. I have some things I'm going to share with you today. Barnabas is related to John Mark in some way. I get to the point. But then, of course, John Mark ran away. Now, they were about to go again. And Barnabas was like, let's take John Mark. And I'm sure Paul will be like, is it because he's related to you? This guy has failed the test of ministry. If you put your hand to the plow and remove it, you are not worthy of the call and all of that. So John, Paul, Bible said there was sharp discontention between them. But open it, Acts 15. Let's look at it. But I want to share some things with you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Acts chapter 15. I was studying this just this week. And I felt I just shared with you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 36, and some days later, sometimes after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So they fought because he said, you can't go with this guy. I don't do such things. Some people may commend Paul. And some people say, well, Paul was just... I'm trying to show you something in the Bible. Just give me a minute. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes. I'm coming. So you realize... He said no, he wasn't going to do that. So Barnabas took Mark. Paul left. But later in ministry, a few things were already happening to Paul. Paul had seen things. Others have left him. In 2 Timothy, that's the last letter that Paul wrote. 2 Timothy chapter 4. When he was rounding up that letter, that is Paul's last letter. What verse is that? I didn't plan to talk about it. It's just coming from my notes directly. That's why I'm just trying to get it. From my study notes. Amen. Verse 11. He said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. For he is what? Profitable. The same Mark that he pursued. So what happened to Mark? What happened to Mark along the line? What happened to Mark's ministry? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. So Paul says Mark is profitable. 1 Peter 5, 13. Are you there? Read it to me, everybody, if you find it. 1 Peter 5 and verse 13. Come on, read it to me, everybody. And so does, what's name is there? Marcus, my son. That's the same Mark. You read NLT or other translations, the word you will see there is Mark. So Peter now calls Mark my son. So something happened between Peter and Mark. Paul never called Mark his son. He just said it's profitable to him. Peter said, Mark, my son. I get to the point. So Peter could believe in Mark. You know why Paul was frustrated with Mark? Mark had been in the faith even before Paul came. If you read places like Acts chapter 12, where they released Peter from prison and the saints were praying for him, it was in John Mark's house that they came. So he has been there for long. Paul was like, what kind of rubbish is this one? But Peter believed. Later he calls him Marcus, my son. Are you following me? Paul will later say, bring Mark. Can I even shock you what I found out in my study? It was that same Mark that wrote the book of Mark. That same Mark that deserted them was the one that gave us the book of Mark in the Bible. Are you following me? Because someone refused to give up. So when you write yourself up, you don't even know how far God wants to go with you. If only you will respond to correction. I don't care where you are in your journey now. That's why we're not giving up on you. So we would have lost an entire book like the book of Mark called the Miracle Gospel. You know it's the Miracle Gospel. It's the book that captures all the miracles of Jesus better than another gospel. Because Paul was just being angry. Of course, he learned his lesson later. Because by the time he told them, he said, everybody has left me. Because he now found out that what Mark did is not something peculiar and particular with Mark. People leave. And you can't, are you getting the point? And when they leave, you should be grateful that Mark even left and came back. Are you following what I'm talking about? He left and came back. Someone was able to take him and disciple him. And then later you could say, bring him. It's not profitable to me in the ministry. And it also tells you of the heart of Apostle Paul. That even though he disagreed in Acts 15, correction was taken later. He didn't quarrel with Mark forever. Are you getting what I'm saying now? He still, when the guy, he still walked with him. The love of God is patience. He's too patient that you can even imagine. That's why sometimes it looks like it's scandalous when we preach some of these messages. What are you trying to say? That God can accept someone that has worked out? Yes. That's why I say to you guys in this church, stop expecting that anybody that leaves this church and not even live well and left rebelliously is going to fail in life and ministry. It's a lie. Are you following me? God is far too patient. That's why when people live like that, I tell you, what I just pray in the name of Jesus, help these ones. Let them get it right. But because I know God is patient. I just want to contribute in their making. Because I know somehow you'll find them. Are you following me? That's why some of you people leave you, hurt you and go, and you just say, don't worry, you'll see yourself, you will suffer. Me, I'll be driving in my car, and I'll not see you, I'll not splash you water. The reverse may be the case. Stop expecting evil to happen to people because they hurt you. You can write people up, and God has not written them off. So Paul said, I can't go with this guy. This is serious business. This boy abandoned us. He can't go with us. Barabbas said, no, I'm going to go with him. I still believe in Mark. Maybe because they had family relation, family ties, it's okay, but I believe in him. And they went on the journey. And oh, wow. After many years, Barabbas was right at the end of the day. Are you following what I'm saying now? Because Mark will later be trained by Peter. Mark will later be useful to Paul. Mark will later write the book of Mark. You might be Mark today. You might be John Mark today. Don't give up on yourself. Get your feedback. The good thing was that Mark came back. And I tell you, for everyone that retraces his steps with God, God doesn't give up on people. He doesn't. So no matter how far you've gone, just retrace that step. He doesn't give up on people. For everyone that just says, okay, fine, I now have missed it, I'm getting back. God begins this journey with a person. So even though Paul would have said no, there was a Peter to disciple. God always finds ways to reach you. He doesn't give up like that. God is patient. His love is patient. So don't write yourself off. There was a place before you came to this place, you committed this, that, you were rebellious and all of that. Call them. Apologize to them. Do things right, but don't write yourself off. Are you following me, friends? You did this and you did that. Oh, even as I'm looking at me, I've had 13 abortions. Don't write yourself off. Don't ever. So I don't know how far I've gone. I may not know. Oh, but there is somebody that knows. God knows. And the only one that knows is not writing you off. He told that woman by the well, you've had 5 husbands. I'm aware. You know, that story was paraphrased. I can imagine Jesus telling him, the first one was Marcus, the other one, Lucas. The other one, Thaddeus. Abi Thaddeus. The other one, what's another cause? Eutychus. And the other one, Leviticus. He said, I know all of them. And currently, I'm living with one. Pentecost. He said, I know all of them. He said, but I'm not writing you off. You are the one writing yourself off. So that woman left that place. It's not amazing that that woman left there and became an evangelist and gathered the whole Samaria nation.
Do you know that there is a prostitute in the genealogy of Jesus? Her name is Rahab. In the genealogy of Jesus, they don't mention women. Did you read Matthew chapter 1? They mention only men. But there were about three women mentioned. You will see Ruth. You will see Rahab. Prostitute. So, are you following me? They didn't mention the father. They mentioned the mother. And it's deliberate. That's the Holy Ghost saying, I all right, people love. In fact, the Holy Ghost captured it in Matthew as Rahab the prostitute. Before you think it's another Rahab. Rahab the prostitute. It was captured like that. Before you think it's another, maybe, you know, Bible commentators have started saying, no, maybe another Rahab. Not Rahab is, no, it's Rahab the prostitute. You're the one writing yourself off. God is not doing that. That's why even if you're Samson and they've plucked out your eyes and they've shaved your hair and they've bound you up, if you can only pray to God, your hair will grow again. Yes. Oh, he prayed and his hair began to grow again. And Samson, Bible said he killed more people at his death. Do you even know why Samson died at that point? He died because of his own understanding of the love of God. He didn't know much. Because look at his prayer. He said, Father, let me die with my enemies. It was granted. Because he felt me, I've committed too much. At least, at all, let me die. You know, if he had prayed, Father, let me kill this guy. Let me be delivered. God will grant it. That's why I tell you that your knowledge of the love of God will affect what you expect from him. He's not following me this evening at all. Because Samson felt like, if I ask that I be delivered, I will be asking for too much. So God, let me just die with them. That's how some of us pray. We look at our sin, we say we've done too much. And God granted it. If God could grant him to deal with more people in his death than when he was alive, what would it have taken God to grant you to be delivered from there? Nothing. He said, how will it happen? I don't know, but he would have done it. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. He would have done it. The guy once took out a great number of Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. So it would have been nothing to be blind and kill those people and walk out of that place. Because God does not write people off. And when the Bible was mentioning great people, he mentioned Samson. He's one of them. And you will not see the name Delilah. Because God doesn't write people off. That thing that's making you feel like, you know, I know God said great things about you, but with the way things have happened around your life in the past few months, well, that is just little to how much you can be. That's a lie. Can I announce to you, time is on your side. So even if it looks like you've made some mistakes, there is still time. God can even pause time for you. Once you can bring yourself to the point of repentance and begin to walk with him, his love is patient enough. It's patient enough. I know people who began their walk with God when they were 40. Yes. And also they began to walk with God when they were 50. And they made it big and great in their walk with God. So don't be the one writing yourself off. The love of God is patient. Love of God is patient. Thank you, Lord Jesus. At least for many of you, a call back to your assignment. A call back to believing in what God has said to you. Everything God has said to you, he will do it. Don't shut that chapter. I know you made some mistakes, you got some things wrong, but he will do it. You have seen people that even get it wrong and even get to the point of getting married and getting a divorce, and God still has a story to write about them. Are you following me, friends? Don't be the one to close the chapter. God is still starting. Or is he starting the book? He's still starting the book. So why am I preaching this? I'm preaching this because God cannot do anything without your cooperation. You have to cooperate. You have to be willing to let him. If you're willing to let him, his patience can never run out. You know, sometimes when the Lord hurries you up to do things, it's not because his patience is running out. It's because he knows that you are human and you have limited time on the earth. And that's just the truth. If it's for God, God is patient. Do you know the one major reason why you see that some people might be very wicked on earth and they live long is what the Bible calls the long suffering of God. God is just being patient with them to see if they will come around. So why are you writing yourself off? Why are you writing yourself off? Why are you writing yourself off? You feel that some things you have been given, well, they gave you leadership position, you scattered the leadership team, you did badly at it. So why are you writing yourself off? They gave a church to pastor. The church used to be 30. It became 4 and the church finished. Why write yourself off? If you're just willing to take that step again, God still has many chapters in your story. That which ended was just one chapter. And if you can only cooperate with God, the next chapter coming is better. By your cooperation. I don't know who needs to hear me this evening. But God is patient. This love is patient. This love is patient. Amen. Let me make this statement and we begin to wind down. Have you been blessed? There are many things I can say about the love of God, but I want to make this statement. God loves us. Now, the best way you can understand the love of God is this. God loves us the same way He loves Jesus. That's the easiest way for you to understand. I'm close with that today. God loves us the same way. Like, if you know how God loves Jesus, that's the same way He loves us. And it's not because I said, I'll show you in the Bible very shortly. I'll show you in the Bible. So when we say God's love is unconditional, His patience, that is the same way He loves Jesus. That's the same way He loves you. The same way He loves you. You're amazing. You made my life. Sing it again. You're amazing. Sing.
You're amazing.
Mm.
You make my life so brand new.
See, you're amazing. Say you make my life.
You make my life so brand new.
Say you are amazing. Sing.
You're amazing.
Lord, you make my life.
You make my life so brand new.
All your promises are yes.
Oh,
all your promises are yes.
All your promises are yes.
They are yes.
And amen. You're not a man, you never lie.
Say all your promises are yes.
All your promises are yes.
They are yes. And amen. Say all your promises are yes.
All your promises are yes.
They are yes and amen.
You're not a man, you never
ah. Say all your promises are yes.
All your promises are yes.
They are yes. Sing it again now. Say all your promises are yes.
All your promises are yes.
They are yes and amen.
You're not a man, you never lie. Jesus, you love me to my soul.
Let me hear you say it
to my soul.
Ah. It again. Jesus, you love me too much. Sing.
Jesus, you love me too much.
Sing it to
my soul.
Hey, yeah.
Sing it again, say Jesus, you love me too much.
Jesus, you love me too much.
Everybody say it. So thank you for loving me too much.
Thank you for loving me too much.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me too much. Unconditionally. Thank you for loving me too much.
Sing it again. Thank you for loving me too much. Oh, thank you
for loving me too much. Oh, unconditionally. Thank you for loving me too much. Oh.
Hallelujah. All right, yourself off. I just feel I should say that again. Don't write yourself off. Don't do that. Because he has journeys he wants to start with you. He's still taking you somewhere. Do you know, I've even seen people who missed it at very sensitive spots in their life, and it looks like there was no way. But I've seen God have a way of changing and turning. You know, when I was teaching on divine leading, I told you this, that even when you miss God at one junction, if you keep working with him at another junction, he will show you how to reroute it, and you still get it right. God is patient. He loves us so patiently. Now, that doesn't call for misbehaving, of course. That's not what he does. But he lets you know, oh, that he can be patient with you. And when the devil is making you feel like, well, God is done with you. Even though God, because some of you have, things that God said to you. I've seen it in the Holy Ghost. God said to you when you were younger, this he said he will do with you, that you will do for him in your life. But then it looks like you slowed down at a point in your life. And it looks like God has forgotten. No, he doesn't forget. He doesn't forget. If you can still walk with him, you might be John Mark. You might still write the book of Mark. So while Paul was saying John Mark cannot go with us, he was simply saying the book of Mark cannot go with us. I get what I'm saying now. He was simply saying this profitability cannot go with us. Because later he will say concerning John Mark, he is profitable unto me. Unto me. Have your seat. That's why when you see Paul have a similar case later, he would deal with it a bit differently. Here was Paul in prison many years after that. And here he meets a guy called Onesimus. And Onesimus was in prison. And he ministers to Onesimus and gets Onesimus saved. And then they start talking. Onesimus says, you know, thank God I'm born again now. But you know, I was very wicked to my master. In fact, I stole his things and I ran away. That's before I met you. Thank God I met you now. And Paul said, oh, are you serious? Who is your master? He said, my master, one rich guy. I said, what's his name? His name is Philemon. He said, Philemon? Philemon. From which city? He said, Colossae. He said, Colossae. And the wife is Appia. He said, yes, yes, yes. And they have a son called Archippus. He say, yes. He say, that's my man. That's my son. Oh. And he said, I'm going to send you back. And Onesimus said, please, did you save me to kill me? And he sent him back with that letter called the book of Philemon. That's how that letter came about. And in that letter, he told him, you know, the statement he made, he said, this guy, I love how he put it. He said, this guy was unprofitable. How it appears in NLT, a big message also. He said, this guy was useless to you before. He said, but now he is profitable to you and to me. I get the point. He was useless to you, but now he's now useful to you and to me. Say, accept him back. Don't write him off. Take him back. And I say, if he has done anything, if he has stolen anything from you, I will pay it back. Put it to my charge, but take him back. Because he has learned that people can misbehave. But God is not a God of second chance. God is the God of multiple chances. Are you following me this evening now? So I said finally, we are loved as Jesus is loved.
John 17:23. Let's close with that. Just two more scriptures and close. This and one more scripture. John 17:23. He said, I in them. Jesus is talking. Okay, let's start from 22. He said, the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. He said, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Oh, let's read it with NLT, New Living Translation. John 17:23. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, I am in them and you are in them. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. This is Jesus talking. God loves us the way he loves Jesus. So whatever God will not do to Jesus, he cannot do to you. Whatever he will not deny Jesus, he will not deny you. Are you following me, friends? He won't. He loves them as much as... Now, see verse 26. He said, I've revealed you to them and I will continue to do so, that your love for me will be in them and I will be in them. So God loves us the same way he loves Jesus. Are you following me? So if they say, how much does God love you? Don't look at yourself, your mirror, your character, or what have you. Look at Jesus. The right question should be, how much does God love the Son? Because he is the model Son. We are made in his image. Are you following me, friends? He's our prototype. So how much does God love him? Okay, God loves him this much. That's how much God loves us. What of the days that we misbehave? How much does God love Jesus? Are you following me? You see why we can still come to God? Not arrogantly. Are you following me? Not arrogantly. Not without any sense of remorse. No. But we can still come to God whenever things go wrong. Because we know that he loves us the way he loves Jesus. That is the meaning of the statement, we are accepted in the beloved. That's what it means. That the same way, that's Ephesians 1 verse 6, that he has accepted us in the beloved. In other words, the same way the beloved is accepted. Let me read that verse with Ephesians 1 verse 6 with the Passion Translation. Passion Translation, Ephesians 1 verse 6. I love how he rendered it. He joined verse 6, verse 5 and verse 6 together. So I'll read it that way. He said, for it was always in his perfect plan. Everybody please listen to this. It was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the anointed one, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us will glorify his grace. For the same love he has for the beloved Jesus, he has for us. Do you hear what I'm saying now? The same love he has for Jesus, the beloved, is the same love he has for us. So when you hear, I'm accepted, beloved, in other words, I am loved exactly the way the beloved, that is Jesus, is loved. So how much love, I'll leave with this question. How much love do you think God has for Jesus? What do you think God will deny Jesus? What can Jesus ever do to God for God to say, I'm done with you? Are you following me? How far will Jesus go and God will say, you've gone too far? What request will Jesus make and God will say, you're asking for too much? If you can't find an answer to this, then apply it to your life. We are accepted in the beloved. Are you following me? The same way he has loved Jesus. That's the confidence I carry around the ministry. I know that God will never let me to be put to shame. That's not because of another thing. There are many other things, but I know that he loves me like he loves Jesus. Jesus didn't ministry on earth, and he was never put to shame. Not once. God will not put me to shame. Never. God will not put me to shame. God will not put you to shame. He walked this earth. None of his words ever failed. God wouldn't let my word fail as his minister. Because he loves me the way he loves Jesus.
And every time when he was hungry, he never lacked provision. God will not let me lack provision. Because he loves me the same way he has loved the Son. Are you following me, friends? The Son walked this earth. The devil never rejoiced over him for once. The devil never rejoiced over me. Hell will never celebrate over my life. It never happened to the Son. It can't happen to me. Because he loves me the same way. That's the consciousness we carry. That's what we carry. That's what we carry. Ooh. We are loved. I said, I'm loved. I'm loved. I'm loved. I'm loved. Accepted in the beloved. Ooh, Shabaron de Shataya Lako Branteya. I'm loved. I'm loved. I'm loved. I'm loved. Oh, I'm loved. Oh, yes, I'm loved by God. God loves me. 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 I'm loved of God. I'm loved of God. I'm loved of God. Glory to God. I'm loved of God. I'm loved of God. I'm loved of God. The same way the Son has been accepted. The same way the Son is loved. The same way Jesus the Son is loved. That's how Henry is loved. So, in measuring the love that God has for us, we don't look at every factor around. We look at how he has loved the Son. Jesus will kneel at the tomb of Lazarus and he will say, Father, I thank you for you always hear me. That is a man that knows how much he's loved. That's the same way I can stand before a problem and say, Father, I thank you for you always hear me. He went further to say, I thank you because you have heard me. He said, but I'm praying this prayer just because of these people's faith, because of these people here. And then he faces Lazarus' tomb and says, Lazarus, come forth. That's the same way. Are you following me, friends? I can stand before a challenge and say, Father, I thank you for you always hear me. Why I'm even praying loud is because I have these church members here, so I want their faith to be helped. So I say, you foul devil, come out of that brother. Then he jumps out. Where is that confidence? I am loved the same way Jesus is loved. I'm accepted the same way the beloved is accepted. He's faithful. We bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. For his mercy endures forever. Lift your hands in this place.
Bless the Lord.
Ooh, yes.
Bless the Lord.
He is faithful. We're going to sing. That's how we're closing tonight. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
For his mercy is for. Everybody sing it. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
For his mercy is for.
For his mercy and yours forever.
My
my God.
Bless the Lord.
Marando shurate karanda. For he is faithful.
He is faithful and he is
good. Everybody say, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Bless the Lord.
Oh, yes.
For his mercy and yours
for. My God.
Bless the Lord.
He is faithful.
He is faithful.
Sing it with conviction now. We say, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
For his mercy is
for.
Lift your hands and just pray in the Holy Ghost in this place. Woo! Marade Shobaranda. Many of you, this is changing your expectation towards life. The same way the Son is accepted, Henry is accepted in that same way. That same way. Many of you need to start believing again over the things that the Lord said to you. The promises he made to you, he doesn't write them up. He is patient. You've gotten it wrong at some point, but come on. Oh, what a love. What a love. You have 4 minutes. Use it to pray.
Bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. Oh, his mercy it endures forever. We bless you, Lord.
Ooh.
We bless you, Lord.
Marando Shaparadaya. Yes.
We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Yes. For your mercy, it endures forever. We bless the Lord.
My God.
We bless you, Lord.
He is faithful.
He is faithful.
Faithful. We love you, Lord. Yes, we love you, Lord.
For your mercy,
it endures forever. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. For he is faithful.
My
God, Kakumante Sataya.
You are faithful and you are kind.
You are faithful
and you are kind. We love you, Lord.
faithful.
Let's sing it together and we close this evening. Everlasting, come on. Precious love of God. Love of God. God's presence is so tense in this atmosphere. We have
more times now. Make sure your heart is in what you are singing. Instrument now. Sing it. And just worship him this evening. Oh, glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. So I'm loved of God. 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 I don't care what is happening. I don't care what anybody has to say. I'm loved of God. No matter what is going on around me, I know I'm loved.
situation can separate us from the love of God. I'm convinced, I'm persuaded, Jesus loves me, and that's all that matters. God loves me. I'm accepted in the beloved. As I'm accepted in the beloved. The same way Jesus is loved of God, Henry is loved of God the same way. Do we try it again? The same way Jesus is loved of God, Henry is loved of God. The same way. Same, same. Shout amen, somebody. What a love, man. So let the devil stop playing a fast one on you. Are you getting me? Get your relationship with God working. He's not striking you out. Get it working. Get to pray and pray boldly. God loves you. Are you following what I'm saying now? When they say show up in church without any sense of condemnation or guilt. God loves you. Show up like that. Has accepted you. When they say who is fit for ministry, raise your hand and say, I'm fit. And why are we fit? Because God has loved us. The Bible said he has made us able ministers. He makes us. It is love. So never ever doubt his love for you. Are you blessed today? Are you blessed today? You know what? Stay getting started. We said have about 6 or 7 or 8 more parts to go. He said, why are we preaching that long? The Bible talks about the length, the width, the height, the depth of the love of God. You can't understand it. We just try to scratch it the much we can. But in this series, we're enjoying revelation. I'm praying every time I come to preach it that you will hear beyond what I'm saying. Let me say this. Some God said I shared with someone. Even if someone has written you off, don't write yourself off. You know, that's why I was teaching you earlier. Don't write people off. There are people that leave you or leave your church and you think they're not going to make it in life. But you have to also realize that some people also expect that you will not make it in life. Are you aware? Some have written you off and they feel that very soon you will face the consequence of your action. But you see, the point is, God loves us. Don't write anybody off. And if they've written you off, don't write yourself off. The only cooperation God needs to start his work with you is your cooperation. I get the point. Because his love is still constant K. Do you remember constant K now? It's still constant. So he just needs your own cooperation. There is K that is constant. Once you break a cooperation, the equation will equate. Please turn less blessing. Were you blessed?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.